I'd like to take us back a couple of weeks to Pentecost Sunday, and allow that to be a lens to look at our gospel reading today. Hopefully that'll make sense at the end of my homily. A couple of weeks ago, we celebrated Pentecost, and Pentecost comes kind of at the end of an Easter season, and yet the beginning of a new season. During Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, and yet many of the readings that we read during the summers of Easter have something to do with some of the early followers of Christ having a sense of fear, this sense of apprehension, this sense of being behind locked doors, fearful of what they're supposed to be doing. And it leads to this great feast of Pentecost, which is this now calling forth to go into the world. And these disciples go from this fear-filled community to a faith-filled community, going forth into the world. And we call that the birth of the church. It's one of the things we talk about, Pentecost being the birth of the church, this call now to go out into the world. Now, there are images we may have from Pentecost if we've heard the story. One image is of these tongues of fire, it's called, coming down upon the apostles, the sense of the Holy Spirit coming upon them. There's also a reference to, and this is one we're probably familiar with, this idea that people who were in the presence of these apostles were able to hear them, it says, were able to hear them and understand them in their own tongue, in their own language. Now, oftentimes we may picture that image, it's a common image, that, let's say, for instance, some of these folks who were gathered spoke Aramaic, and all of a sudden, maybe one or two of the apostles was able to speak Aramaic, and those who spoke Aramaic said, oh, now I understand. Perhaps some of the folks in that community, that the gathering of people, spoke Hebrew, and the miracle is that one of the apostles, perhaps a couple of them, were now able to speak Hebrew, or perhaps it was Greek, whatever language. That idea that I speak a language, and all of a sudden these apostles who never could speak this language now do. And I understand this message of Christ through these apostles. It's a common, perhaps a common understanding. I'd like to present, though, even a deeper understanding, in my opinion, a different understanding of this message. Language, to me, is more than just different words or phrases that we say with different sounds. That's an oversimplification of language. But language is much deeper than that. Language has a lot to do with our context, with our culture, with who we are, the community in which we are raised. And in some ways, it doesn't have anything to do with different languages. But sometimes it's just a different way that we live a life, even though we may speak the same language. Follow me on this? Let me give an example. It's interesting that on Pentecost Sunday, that weekend, the day before was the royal wedding. And we heard Bishop Curry preaching at the royal wedding. That, to me, was an example of Pentecost. That was an example to me of a message that was heard by, I think it was 1 or 2 billion people. You know, when you get into the billions, what's 1 or 2? You know, 1 or 2 billion. But that message that Bishop Curry spoke resonated. If you listen, you hear people saying, you know, I consider myself an atheist, but boy, listening to his way of sharing the gospel, I may give this another look. I may give this another consideration. That's also speaking in another language. Do you understand that? We all know Bishop Curry, and it's not just about Bishop Curry's style, but it's also the context and the message of what he was preaching. What's the essence of the gospel? And sometimes we can forget that. So many people heard that message, and it spoke to their language. They could understand that. Language is not just different languages. Language can also be different generations. The greatest generation. At the 7:30, I was reminded of the generation between the silent generation. Then there's the baby boomers. And then it goes on, and the millennials, there's many different generations. And I think in some ways, perhaps there's different ways that we've expressed the gospel. The language of the greatest generation has been a language that has been communicated, and people have been touched and moved by it. There's the language of the baby boomers. Some jokingly say that the Book of Common Prayer, a result of the 1970s, is a book that came about trying to speak a different language. Yet it held on to write one, brought up many other rites, but a different sound, a different language. And so there are different ways. And so I think one of the challenges today for us as church is if we look to evangelize, as we look to grow as a community of faith, what kind of language are we using? What kind of a language? If we look around at a gathered community, there's members of the greatest generation, where the baby boomers are here. But what about some of those other generations? What about the millennials? What about other Gen X? What about how can that language be spoken? I think that's the challenge of the church today. And even here at St. Paul's, we need to be engaged in that experience. But here's a message that I heard in our gospel today that maybe is something to make sure we're aware of. In the gospel today, we hear Jesus with his followers walking. There's two scenes in this gospel. One is they're walking through a grain field, a field of grain, and they're plucking grains off of the top of the plants. It doesn't say why they're doing that. I'm not sure they're eating them or going to save them up to make something, but they're picking, plucking. And the Jewish leaders who see this, they speak the language of the law. And the law has spoken to them. It's shown them God's presence in their lives. It's shown them the love of God. But what Jesus and his followers are doing, it's a different language. Do you hear that? Maybe it's not spoken, but it's a different way. Jesus goes into the village, and there's a man there, it's described, with a withered hand, and Jesus almost challenges the Jewish leaders. He heals the man on the Sabbath, unheard of, something not to be done. You don't do it that way. Jesus, you need to speak our language. You need to be like us, unable to hear the depth of. They're both speaking of the same thing. The Pharisees follow this law to touch God's presence in their lives. Jesus is preaching the gospel to reach out to folks to teach them of God's love in their lives. And yet, there's a different experience there. Do you hear that in that gospel reading? I suggest that to you. What I hear today is, sometimes, we who perhaps speak a language we're familiar with in preaching the gospel and in worship and in gathering, we sometimes expect everyone else to speak the same language. And yet, perhaps, there's a different way of expressing that to touch people's lives. Different ways of communicating this message. Different words, different ways of thinking, different ways of being. And yet, the challenge is, like those Hebrew leaders, Richard Rohr, remember, you know Richard Rohr? Yeah. Let's joke about that. For those of you who knew Richard Rohr, someone I quote a lot. Richard Rohr reminds us that the stories of the scripture are not just about Judaism. It isn't just about these ancient religions. It's about us. You know, what's happening in the scriptures is a prototype of what happens even now. And can we fall into that experience of the Jewish leaders and kind of expect everyone to speak our language? I was a few years ago at a church. They asked me to come and talk about some new ways of incorporating church evangelization growth. And one of the words used was by one of the leaders was, "George, we just can't seem to get people to assimilate into this parish." And that word assimilate spoke very powerfully to me. The church isn't about assimilating folks, but it's about how do we Perhaps we all speak different languages when it comes to this experience of faith, different spiritualities, different ways of living this out. How do we certainly attract and draw folks of a simple language like us, but perhaps there's another language out there that we haven't even tapped into yet that will invite and help people to understand this powerful love of Christ in our lives. So today, Pentecost, Bishop Curry, speaking in a way that folks have been touched by. How do we, using that image as a church, continue in that? How do we continue to be a Pentecost? How do we continue to be reborn anew as we reach beyond our world, not to speak our language, but to speak the language of those who perhaps can understand us in new ways? But only can we do that by coming to know this world beyond us. So share those thoughts with you this morning as we continue on this journey of Pentecost. May we continue to be a church that is born and reborn and born and reborn again as this great love of Christ is shared and preached to our world.